The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning. How you doing?
It's the laziest week of the year. The slowest week of the year, baby.
It's not what your tease said on Follow the Money.
Oh, really? What did my tease say? What did I say last Friday? What did I say?
Like, the greatest sports week ever.
Oh, is that what I said? I just believe that was sarcasm. Yes, we have a show because there's a home run derby tonight, so we got to talk home run derby. Alonzo, J-Rod, Mookie, Vlad Guerrero, Randy Arozarena, Adolis Garcia, Luis Robert, and Adley Rutschman, all in the home run derby. We'll try to break it down a little later on the show. Paul Spohr will be here to talk baseball. I'm just going to pepper him with all-star break baseball questions. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke with some thoughts on the derby as well. And Drew Dinsick making a special Monday appearance. Talk tennis and whatever else with us momentarily. Maybe he's got some Tour de France tips for us as well. Speaking of tennis, a little 5 of 6 run here to here's how Wimbledon has gone match-wise for me. Started out hot, 4-1. Right now on a great run, 5 of 6. The only reason it's 5 of 6, not 6 of 6, because Shapovalov got hurt in the second set and played it out yesterday. And then in between, all of the weather delays, terrible.
Right? I was going to say, I remember you complaining last week.
Oh, so it
turned over the weekend. That's good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. At VSiN.com/picks for all of the picks. We do have one tennis play. We're in the final leg of the round of 16 today. We've already had 2 walkovers. Kelly, what should happen on walkovers in tennis?
Sir Allen Iverson should be present at center court while the player who retires lays in a prone position face down toward the grass while the opponent walks over him, literally, and goes on to the next round.
You added the face down part. I didn't know. I didn't know that's what you wanted. I didn't know.
Yeah, you gotta smell the grass.
So
you know?
Let me interpret, ladies and gentlemen. So what Kelly is suggesting is that this morning, Beatriz Haddad-Maia developed a back problem against Elena Rybakina. So Kelly, despite her ailments, wants her to be face down and have Rybakina walk over just as a shame sort of thing.
That is correct. If you're going to quit, you're going to be punished. You're going to be humiliated for it.
And Lehechka pulled out against Medvedev, too. So there would be another walkover. Anyway, though, the one pick we have today is a little later on the men's side. By the way, they're finishing up. We'll get to the Djokovic and Swiatek momentarily. They're finishing up the Djokovic, or at least continuing, I should say, the Djokovic or Koch match right now. But my play today is Grigor Dimitrov. Only have one play today. Grigor Dimitrov -2.5 games against Holger Rune. Holger Nadskov Vitas Rune. I believe that's the order of names. This is -3 now, so this, again, if you have the VSiN subscription at VSiN.com/picks, you'll have a better line when I gave it out than you do right now. But I have Dimitrov -2.5 games at -114 yesterday. I think he's like -160-ish on the money line.
Seeing 170 at DraftKings.
Yeah.
DraftKings that also just dropped, no longer have Holger's middle names in there.
Notskoff Vitas or Vitas
right, Notskoff? Yeah. Now it's just Holger Rune.
So that play, again, like all my plays, chiefly based on data to begin with, Dimitrov's grass numbers are spectacular, much higher than one might assume. Rune's not so spectacular, and Rune coming off just a grueling 5-setter against Alejandro Davidovich Fokina, whereas Dimitrov has just been rolling people. So Dimitrov -2.5 games is the tennis play of today. That should probably start by the end of the show, but who knows? Who knows with these matches? All depends how these previous ones go. As far as and by the way, again, this tournament has been unbelievable. If anybody saw the Djokovic-Urkacz beginning yesterday, Djokovic basically stole both first sets from him, both the first and the second set from him. Had no business winning either, won them both. And so now they're resuming set 3. And again, Urkacz, you can't break them on grass, so it's going to probably go to a tiebreaker again. The other one is, and this has to do with our futures that we made pre-flop on this tournament, Iga Swiatek yesterday staves off 2 match points against her. Belinda Bencic, who, if you're a keen observer of this show, Kelly, remember when we did our golf and tennis rankings, you and I, respectively? Belinda Bencic is the girl that I had way higher than the mark, right? I have her fifth as my fifth ranked tennis player by my number. So it's no surprise to me that she gave Iga trouble. But Iga staving off two match points and winning it. Gut check for Iga as she makes it to the quarterfinals, which is her deepest run into a grass court tournament, or at least into Wimbledon, I should say, specifically. And so as far as our futures are concerned, Iga to win it is obviously still alive. Iga Djokovic parlay to win it is still alive. And then three of our four quarters are still alive. So Veronika Kudermetova in quarter two, that's done. But Iga in quarter one, she needs to just beat Elena Svitolina, which I am not nearly as worried about of Svitolina as I was of Bencic. And then Madison Keys won this morning. She beat Mira Andreeva, who we had as a plus money winner the other day on Saturday, which ended up being yesterday morning as when it finally was played. Maddie Keys is one match away from hitting our 6-1 in her quarter. And then a little later on today, Petra Kvitova in quarter three. Maddie Keys is in quarter four. Petra Kvitova plus 320. She's taking on Ons Jabeur a little later on today. If she wins that, she will be one match away. Now, Maddie Keys and Kvitova may have to play Rybakina and Sabalenka, I think, not respectively. I think Keys would play Sabalenka and Kvitova would play Rybakina. I believe I have that right. But we'll see. Sabalenka would have to get past her match today as well. So anyway, been just from a fan standpoint, an unbelievable tournament. The margins have been super thin. And so far, so good on the futures. And, well, like the French Open, we ended up having a winning French Open on matches after falling way behind. Looks like we might have the same thing if we keep getting it done here late at Wimbledon. So that's the one play today: Grigor Dimitrov minus 2.5 games. Have you bet any of these, Kelly? No, nothing.
No, I actually haven't.
Okay.
No, I actually haven't. Just been busy with other stuff: golf, yeah. NBA Summer League this weekend, all that stuff.
You have any of Sepp Straka this weekend?
No, but did I have one of the dudes that tied second? Of course I did, Gil.
Oh, you did that again.
Yeah, Alex Smalley, yeah.
Sepp Straka winning the John Deere Classic with a final round 62, and at one point it looked like he was going to break records. He was like 10 under through 13 or something like that yesterday.
He was on 58 watch for a while, and then comes in and puts one in the drink on 18, double bogeys, ends up with a 62. That brought Brendan Todd and Alex Smalley right back into things. They had a chance, but both of those guys choked down the stretch. Neither one of them. Brendan Todd completely gave it away right as Straka was putting that ball in the water. Smalley put one in the trap on, I think that was 14, and it was like it just fell into the fairway bunker there, Gil, and it was like brutal. He had to do the whole like just chip it out 5 feet to give himself even a shot. So, yeah, rough way to end this golf tournament.
Per Jeff Sherman at the Westgate, Straka was 500-1 after round one. 500-1.
He was so many shots off the lead, yeah.
He was 50-1 heading into yesterday. 50-1 heading into the final round.
It was crazy. I think he was 8 strokes back to begin yesterday. It was nice. Sepp Straka is one of those guys. We saw him win at the Honda last year. When he's on his game, he looks like one of the best golfers in the world. But he is so up and down, it's like impossible to bet the guy.
The other thing you mentioned just there briefly was Summer League. Kelly and I will talk Summer League later on in the show, revisit the futures of Summer League. We have one weekend in the books here. Victor Wembanyama has played twice after the first game where it wasn't so good. By the way, we were both there, as was a bunch of the VSiN crew. What pressure he must have felt the first night. I mean, it was packed. When that Blazers-Rockets game was ending, and what a game that was, by the way, which ended on a Jabari Smith three-pointer with, 0.6 left on the clock to win it. Left his hand with 0.6 left on the clock. Just unbelievable game. You know, Wembanyama was in the tunnel. That, where the press stands down at the bottom, person to person, you couldn't move down there. It was unbelievable, the buzz in the air. So he didn't play well in the first game. And then last night he comes out 27-12, three blocks, So there's a lot of people, you know how your cold hot was your cold take, cold freezing take that you had back in the day on Chris Singleton and Kawhi? There's a lot of people out there that have really cold takes really quick on Victor after game one.
I think there's some things that you saw in game one that are gonna be his growing pains through the first year or two of the NBA. He's got to build up his endurance, and look, he might be 7'4" or close to it, but he still weighs less than Kevin Durant. He's gonna get beat. He's gonna get pushed around by some of the bigger guys down low, and that's what you saw in that first game. What you saw last night is, and all I could think watching that game last night was, oh man, anytime, because the Spurs are gonna be able to go small with him at center or whatever. Anytime they play another team that goes small. Oh, man, good luck, because Victor's going to be everywhere.
But he will. I do think that is a microcosm. I mean, we hinted at this. We were talking about this during the draft or the run-up to the draft when we were betting the draft, is that, you know, I brought up one point. Shouldn't someone say he might not be good this year? Like, this could be a tough year. The first year could be very up and down. He could have nights where it's going to be super frustrating. He'll get bullied on the court.
Yeah.
And then he'll have nights where he'll be like, oh, there it is. That's what he's going to be.
I think the other thing that, like, just watch – all I did last night was watch him, right? Like, I watched him the entirety of the game. I didn't care about the actual game. Watching him defend out on the perimeter, Gil, and I don't think we've ever seen anybody that can do this, where he can guard a guy on the perimeter and be halfway to the paint, too.
That's right, two
steps.
So
it's like, go to drive, I'll be over there not to help. Man. I'll be over there to stop you, or I'm going to close out.
Beyond Wembanyama, we'll talk about this when we get to the Summer League talk a little later on, but there are some guys out there who look spectacular in a very short time frame here. May not get back on the court in Summer League. That's a whole other story. We'll get to the futures of that later on. Drew Dinsick next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app. Won't take you but a few seconds. And then stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. That won't take you but a few minutes. And then you start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Bam! That easy. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. The other thing about Summer League, Kelly, is, you know, Goulet was there, our guy who, what's Goulet's title? Runs content?
Program director?
Program director. All right. Goulet, like, I got there, and I didn't have a pass, right? And he thinks that I'm purposefully difficult, right? Because I don't check email. So he's like, what's wrong with this guy? Like, I could tell, like, he exudes the what's wrong with this guy thing. What he doesn't understand is, like, I have last year's pass visible in my apartment. It just doesn't occur to me. Like, it doesn't connect in my brain. Like, oh, yeah, I got a pass last year. I should check my email to get a pass this year. So he's like, I can tell the judgment, right? He's just soaking with judgment. So I borrow Kelly's pass, and I end up with great seats there. The thing, the whole thing. Like, literally.
How many times a week I get an email where it's an email to me and you, and I'm like, yeah, I'll let you know.
This is just also how the brain works, right? Like, remember that phone number we did last week? I can remember the phone number you gave me last week, 307-5923. But I can't remember to go check my email to get a pass. He just doesn't understand the spectrum thing, I think. Drew Dinsick does, though. He is at whale_capper on Twitter. He is the host of Not One But Two podcast, The Deep Dive with Drew Dinsick and Andy Molitor. And, of course, NBC Sports Bet the Edge. He joins us now from his lair in the LBC. How you doing, Drew?
I'm great, and I definitely enjoyed and appreciated the banter there. Because I agree. I mean, you get bombarded with emails and messages, and you just have to find a way to streamline it all. And you know, that you definitely run into those issues where you know, you should have responded to something important to logistically smooth things out, and then you find out at the wrong, you know, at the last minute that you blew it.
I think he underestimates my ability to just be an idiot, I believe, is what really really comes down to.
It's okay, you just pretended to be me for 20 minutes.
That's
and
right.
It all
I just
worked out
Kelly,
well. There you go.
Got me seat, gave back to Kelly. Very easy. It's very simple. Okay. By the way, have you been watching Summer League? Do you bet this kind of stuff? You don't bet this, do you?
I don't have very good player ratings on 90% of the players that are playing, so I sit it out. Occasionally, NBA sharp guys that I talk to will kind of bubble up with, there's a blown line. Let's hit this. That comes around once a week. It's not, I'm definitely not watching other than, the clips that get circulated.
Well, what you do have numbers on is tennis. How has Wimbledon gone for you? What do you like today?
So Wimbledon to this point, match by match betting has been superlative.
Excellent. Good for
all you. All the stuff that happened to me in the French Open where I was like, just couldn't get a winner, had a clear winner that got voided by retirement, blah, blah, blah. All of that is basically gone exactly reverse for me at Wimbledon so far. It's been super successful. I kind of picked up early that we were getting a lot of the same signal of success at Miami translating to Wimbledon success.
Interesting.
I can't explain this. I have nothing to add to this beyond that.
Right, because Miami's a slower hard court, right?
Maybe it was
not. Remember, it was different this year a little bit.
Yeah, maybe something changed. The balls, the surface. I was not paying super close attention to Miami, but for whatever reason, like the correlations of just performance and serve hold and just in general, who's in form, it's like all lining up exactly the same. Like some of the names in the quarterfinals at women's Miami, Rybakina, Pegula, Alexandrova, Kvitova, Sabalenka, basically the women who are shining here all had, deep runs in Miami. Similarly on the men's side, you had runs from Sinner and Alcaraz, obviously Medvedev won that tournament. Eubanks made the quarterfinals, just really wild kind of coincidences of just certain players playing well. But, to kind of go back to just generally like luck and stuff. I stared at the money line for Alejandro Davidovich Fokina for 20 minutes. I was like, this should be +150, +200. Like, there's no way that this is right price. And hemmed and hawed and was like, you know what? I'm not going to ruin my my Saturday. I'll just take the +4.5 games and just enjoy the match. And if I had been on the money line in that one and seen the way that thing played out in the tiebreak, I would have lost my mind.
Yes.
Because Davidovich Fokina was the better player in that match. The match was on his racket. Rune was lucky to escape with the win.
It was on his racket all the way to the end, right? In the final tiebreaker was 8-6 or something like that.
He was up 8-5. Rune won the last 5 points, memorably winning the put away on the underarm serve that was the set up match point. But Rune has been extremely impressive. Just mental toughness. He still has obviously a ton to learn to really succeed and thrive at the best of five level. But all the signs and confidence I have that he'll be a factor for years to come have kind of been proven out from what I've seen from him so far. Little disappointed in what I've seen from Alcaraz. I thought that what you got from him at Queens was a clear sign that he was learning pretty quickly, but. Some of his performances, against Jarry and then
Hubert Hurkacz just taking a set from Djokovic, by the way, 7-5.
Yeah, he's playing great. Yep. He's playing great. He's your Holly champion last year. A game that serves itself well at Wimbledon. And by the way, wasn't he the Miami champion 2 years ago?
Yes, he was.
What? Weird. I have to dig into this a little bit more now.
Wow, good for you. I did not make that connection. Yeah.
Basically all the guy, everybody that's, that seems to have success in, down in Miami in March is turning it around in London in July for whatever reason. But, I still think the women's side is completely wide open. If I had to make a pick, I would say exactly what I said when we talked about this a week and a half ago, which is Petra, I guess. This is still so flat, and Iga's path is the softest. So, I get why the price is what it is, but
we both did very well in these quarters, at least up to this point, right? Cause I have Keys, Kvitova and Swiatek for quarters still alive, but I agree with you in that it could be Kvitova. I mean, you can't say a bad word about Rybakina either.
She's answered every question.
Yeah. And now she has a walkover today, so she'll be fresh, right?
Defending champ. And I, in general, you look at a matchup against a player like Beatriz Haddad-Maia, and that scares you if you're a Rybakina backer, because Haddad-Maia likes to extend those matches and really test your fitness. And that was, that's sort of the only kind of remaining question is what, because does Rybakina have a 3-hour match in her? She looks slight, but she's, you know, she's overcoming that by a little bit upping her aggressiveness to kind of get through points quicker, get through games quicker. And I think that's helping her. And she, yeah, she's going to have to face the winner of Kvitova Jabeur. I guess it's going to be Kvitova. this one's a tough one. Really tough one to call.
Accurately priced, right? Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, my numbers say it should be +125 for Kvitova. So there's no value either side. But if you look at sort of last 52 weeks, grass hold break, grass serve return points won, it's telling you there's a pretty solid gap there with Kvitova serve is hitting at 70% win probability on serve.
Your numbers say +125 on Kvitova, or you meant -125?
No, -125. Yeah, yeah. -125 for Kvitova, +125 for Jabeur. So yeah, a market price says, you know, is fair. But you know, there are, if you tease out the data a little bit, you know, if you look hard at particularly how well Kvitova has played on grass to this point in the season, you know, I wouldn't take the price on Ons, even though, you know, I have a soft spot for her.
Yeah, I have no play in that match. The only play I have today is Dimitrov -2.5 games against Rune. I'm not sure how you feel about that after your tribute to Rune.
No, that's a great play. That's a great play. Rune is at the same point that he was, I think, at the French Open, where, you know, comes through a very physical 5-set match in what, round 4, and then just didn't have the goods against Rude in the quarterfinal. This is a lot of the similar read here. And Dimitrov, for what it's worth, former semifinalist here at Wimbledon, experience has mattered clearly. You know, the idea that a player like Svitolina and Azarenka were, you know, as deep as they were, I think speaks directly to the fact that they've just played a lot more grass than some of the other younger players. Keys getting by Andreeva. I mean, I don't think any of us would say that Keys is clearly the better player, but experience matters. And so it's definitely a Dimitrov or pass in that matchup for me.
So I'm hearing nothing from you later today. What about, or tomorrow maybe? Nothing yet?
I didn't play anything else today. Let me look tomorrow, though.
You got a break to look at it. There you go.
Yeah.
Drew Dinsick, everybody. We'll talk more Wimbledon, see what else he's betting. Get a Tour de France update from him. See how, what was that guy's name, Kelly, that he was talking about last week?
Oh, it's a 2-horse race now.
We'll get it all that.
Tadej and Jonas.
If you're looking for exclusive Tour de France betting coverage, you've got it right here on the other side. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's always football season here at VSiN, which is why we've already released our NFL betting guide. Our NFL betting guide will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with in-depth profiles of every team, including advanced stats, proven betting systems from proprietary betting trends, plus best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19. Get your digital copy of the VSiN NFL betting guide, or take advantage of our summer kickoff special and get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for only $175. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Kelly actively practicing the pronunciation of names of Tour de France cyclists. Yes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I got him down.
He's working on it. We'll get to Tour de France talk momentarily. But Drew Dinsick, kind enough to join us here for a second segment from the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at @whale_capper. Before we get to your tour update, one last thing. So, Iga yesterday, the world number one, from death's door, 2 match points against her, against Belinda Bencic, who I was saying earlier when we did our rankings here, personally, our personal tennis and golf rankings, I have Bencic my 5th best player in the world. Like, I love Bencic. So to me, that was one, I'm way ahead of, not way ahead of, but I'm way higher on her than the consensus. All court we're talking, not per surface. I'm just talking all court. So that was a match I was worried about, but I didn't think it would get to match points. We were just talking off air. I don't remember Iga staving off match points in any match, but do you feel, because I do, that going through something like that makes her way more dangerous now?
Yeah, it definitely does. And there's a pretty common kind of outcome that you see a lot with not the Iga type of players, but the players who are maybe like one rung below her, you know, that can't get over the hump. They can't kind of get over the mental demons of like slams that they came ever so close. Mm-hmm. And then they get into that slam situation. They survive match points. And then they're like, oh yeah, I can do this.
Yep.
And it kind of gives them like the mental edge to kind of overcome adversity as they go through the slams. The most famous example clearly of this was Wozniacki in the Australian Open in like round two against a player that she had no business being. Jenna Fett maybe?
Wow.
She faced match points against Fett. She overcomes it. She wins that. She comes back from the dead in that match. It was like round two. And it's like, oh man, like if she's got the back of her mind now that she can overcome these situations, she's a much more dangerous player because, you know, she was to that point the kind of player that you expected when the going gets tough, she got going. Mm-hmm. and so the idea of Iga kind of overcoming match points is something, again, I haven't looked hard at her resume, but that felt like the first time I've ever seen her overcome adversity to that degree.
If it has happened, yeah. It happened way early in her career. Yeah.
Right. And not in a time or place where it led to her winning.
Yes.
Right. Like her slams on her resume are like one way traffic Iga in every match. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was kind of characteristic of, you know, when she went out and when it was a surprise, it was a lot of the time where she just couldn't get over those type of moments where, you know, the match was in the balance and she didn't find a way to get through it. And so I was kind of waiting for this because it definitely makes her a more dangerous player. This was the kind of win she needed, to kind of be able to reflect on. I don't know that it's going to lead to her surely winning this championship because there's just still so many really, really talented grass players.
Yep.
And for what it's worth, she still doesn't look perfectly comfortable on the surface. All that being said, if you want to bet for tomorrow, I think 5.5 games against Svitolina is too low. My modal and median outcomes there are Iga by 6 games. So I'm going to lay the 5.5 at -102 right now.
I like it. Yeah, I'm not nearly as worried about Svitolina as I was.
No,
yep.
No, yep. Not at all. Svitolina is a great story. She's a happy to be here kind of player at the quarterfinal level.
By the way, you see that yesterday, yeah, Azarenka. So again, this is the politics of Azarenka, mm-hmm. who's from Belarus. Svitolina from Ukraine. Svitolina famously will not shake the hand of Russian or Belarusian players. And Azarenka, knowing this upon losing to her yesterday, doesn't go for the handshake and gives her the, you know, the distant acknowledgement wave. She then leaves the court. The crowd doesn't get it that she was being deferential, and they boo Azarenka off the court. It was brutal. I was like, oh God, be better, fans. Come on.
Yeah, I'm desperately waiting to get geopolitics out of tennis.
Yes.
Anytime now, happily get it out of the discussion here. I thought you were going to go in a different direction where Svitolina's most her newsworthy, noteworthy story this morning was she gave away her Harry Styles tickets because she had to play in Wimbledon, and Harry Styles found out and basically said, come anytime.
Wow.
So there's a little connection there.
True between Svitolina and Harry Styles. Breaking news. There, well done.
So no, just well, so Svitolina is here. She's happy to be here, in my opinion. And I think Iga takes care of her pretty comfortably tomorrow. So
okay,
that's the only look on the board for me. I Pegula should not be this price probably, but Vondrousova is so mercurial. I bet on her days where she should be the favorite and she just no shows, so I'm probably gonna abstain there, but
I think that's properly priced.
I'm kind of shocked that Pugula is the favorite, honestly.
Oh no, her grass numbers are a little better, but yes, I mean, could I see an upset in quotes? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's not much of a margin between them. By the way, real quick, before tour, did you add any football bets over the last couple weeks?
Haven't done anything. I'm still going through the process now. Completed reviewing all the schedules and kind of thinking through how sequencing will play into sort of the season unfolding.
Sequencing of games, schedule.
Yeah, sequencing of games and schedule. kind of fascinating. The big losers on the schedule were the Chiefs and the Chargers. Chargers schedule is unforgivably tough. There are scheduled losses all throughout. It's going to be really tough for them to overachieve, I think. And then the Chiefs down the home stretch, 5 games in a row, they're at a rest disadvantage. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Five in a row.
And it's against teams that matter. You know, they have a rest disadvantage against the Chargers, the Bengals, the Bills. The NFL, it feels like, is sending a message that they want the AFC championship in a different venue this year.
It's, you know, it's interesting because last year they started the first seven weeks of the season for the Chiefs. I referred to it as a gauntlet last year. Like, yeah, it's like, oh my God, if they can get out, you know, 4-3, they would take it. And then you look up afterwards, you're like, oh, look where they are. Right. And not to mention in the postseason. So, yeah, this is like the latest iteration of that. Will it make a difference? One would think, right? But would it surprise you if it didn't in the end? That wouldn't either, I guess.
Yeah, 6 games, actually, in a row. They have rest disadvantage week 12 to week 17. So I don't even know how, like, it takes a pretty impressive amount of, it can't be random, right? They're playing on normal rest, but their opponent happens to have an advantage in every single game.
It's gotta be. Yes.
Yeah. It's Vegas at Vegas, at Green Bay, Buffalo at home, at New England, Vegas on the road. Somehow Vegas has a rest advantage against the Chiefs twice. Not that that's going to matter.
Yeah.
And then Cincinnati has a rest, but Cincinnati, Buffalo, New England, and Green Bay all with the rest advantage in the final quarter of the season is kind of rough.
When I get back from vacation, let's do a deeper dive into scheduling quirks like this. I'd be interested in a couple weeks. Okay, yeah. We have 90 seconds on the tour. Kelly, what are the two guys that are?
Oh, it's a coin flip situation at this point, Gil.
Yeah.
Tadej Pogačar -125 to win it all.
Sure.
Jonas Vingegaard +110 to win it all.
Vingegaard?
I mean, I don't know. I'm guessing.
Drew, is that accurate? Was that what he just said? Yeah.
He was close enough.
Okay.
For whatever reason, the G-A-A-R-D that ends Jonas's surname, they just kind of give it the go, you know, like LSU Tigers, G-E-A-U-X.
Really? Isn't there that actor, Skarsgård? We say Skarsgård, don't we, when we talk about that actor?
Yeah.
So is it Skarsgård?
For sure, but it's Vingegaard.
Vingegaard.
Like, I don't know why.
He just wants to be cool because he rides a bike. No. So it says go at the end.
Vingegaard.
But Tade and Jonas are in a dead heat at this point. It's the most competitive Tour de France that I can remember. If you haven't been watching, it has been extremely entertaining. Today is a rest day, so if you want to catch up on some of the highlights, it's a good time to do so. They started in the Basque region of Spain and France. They went to the Pyrenees. They had back-to-back really, really difficult but very beautiful mountain stages in the Pyrenees. On stage 5, Jonas, who has the stronger team, put together just a compelling, compelling stage, pulled away, put a minute on Pogačar. It seemed like the tour was, you know, like the yellow jersey was, a fait accompli. It was going to be a repeat for Vingegaard. But then in stage 6, Pogačar just tactically superior. He hung on the wheel of Vingegaard for much of the, the hardest climbing. And then came back and just kind of dropped the hammer on him. And so, yeah, this is a coin flip. I would take the plus money on Vingegaard, though, with the prices Kelly mentioned.
Plus money on Vingegaard. Kelly, trivia question. Most viewed sporting event in the world, Super Bowl, World Cup, or Tour de France?
World Cup.
Incorrect. Tour de France.
Wow.
It's really true. Yeah.
Tour de France. No way.
Yes. Given the length of time and how many countries are watching, it's really true. Drew, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, best of luck, guys.
Drew Densing, everybody. Summer League talk next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Turn a loss into a win with BetMGM, official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Place the same game parlay wager with at least 4 legs on any MLB game. And if all legs of the parlay hit but one, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $25. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 and over wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. U.S. promotional offers not available. In Kansas, Mississippi, D.C., Nevada, New York, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in Colorado, D.C., Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Mississippi, New Jersey, New York, New Jersey, Nevada, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. Call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPE New York. That's HOPENY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel, this offer is not valid to Puerto Rico residents, that is. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It's a numbers game from the South Point Hotel Casino, tip of the strip. Chris Eubanks, the young American, trying to even it up now with two set points, and he does. Evens it up two sets apiece against Stefanos Tsitsipas. They go to a fifth and final set. Eubanks, big dog against Stefanos Tsitsipas. The golden run of Eubanks, one in Mallorca, now deep run into Wimbledon. Wow, would this be an upset? We shall see.
Is this the furthest he's gone in a Grand Slam?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. By the way, before the break, I said on the way out, I was like, Kelly, trivia question, what's the most viewed sporting event in the world? Kelly, would you say you were incredulous that my answer was the Tour de France, right?
Yes.
Well, here's the top 10 most viewed sporting events in the world. Number 10.
Number 10.
World Series, 14.3 million viewers.
Okay.
Number 9, the Super Bowl. 112.3 million viewers. 8, the UEFA Champions League, 380 million viewers.
So, like, what does that mean? That's a perfect. We're comparing the Super Bowl versus the Champions League. Like, is that every game played in the Champions League or just the final?
Well, this will really drive you crazy because number 7, they just say boxing. So I don't even understand what that means. I guess that means over a whole year. I don't even know. Oh, and number 6, the Women's World Cup, 1.12 billion viewers. Number 5, the Winter Olympics, 2 billion viewers. Number 4, the Summer Olympics, 2 billion viewers, but higher than the winter. Number 3, the Cricket World Cup.
I was wondering if that was going to be in there.
2.6 billion viewers. Number 2 is the World Cup, which would have been my guess, 3.3 billion. And number 1, the Tour de France, 3.5 billion viewers. I'm telling you, man, wow, your party friends with that one.
I've worked in TV for 15 years now. I would not have guessed that.
Yeah, that's why if anybody...
Olympics. It's usually Olympics, Olympics, Olympics.
That's right. If we do 90 seconds on the Tour de France and somebody out there is complaining about it, there you go. There's my response.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Todd Edge.
I told them.
Poker car.
That's right. He wants the plus money on which one?
Todd Edge is -125. Yeah, then Jonas Vingegaard.
Plus money on Vingegaard.
+110. That's what Drew liked.
Okay.
The next drop down, we go to Jay Hindley at 40-1.
Oh, wow. It really is mano a mano.
Sorry, my phone volume's on because okay. It's the first show I've ever done in my life, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. All right. So, Summer League, we talked about Wembanyama at the top of the show. Ho-hum, not really much to see. In fact, even a bad first game, so much pressure. If you were in that arena, so much pressure on this kid. And it didn't go well. But then last night, 27 points, 12 boards, 3 blocks, and you're like, oh, yeah, this guy's going to be great. But really the stars that we saw shining on Friday, first of all, Brandon Miller of the Hornets, who the Spurs were taking on, he looked great after a couple ho-hum games or not-so-great games in Sacramento. He looked great on Friday night in the Summer League.
I completely agree. I think that's perfectly said. His first two games out in California were very meh.
Yeah.
He looked a little lost. I thought Friday he looked awesome.
Yeah. Now, do any of these comments lead to some kind of bet for you? I don't know if they do, but just file these away. Brandon Miller looked great. The real star in 90 seconds of viewing, like it only took you 90 seconds to realize, oh, this dude is going to be great, is Scoot. Scoot Henderson for the Portland Trail Blazers, the number 3 pick in the draft. Kelly, he could get to any spot on the court that he wanted to, either through, you know, his handle, his body, just pushing his way into it, saw the court well, and you can clearly see immediately, because your comment was, I think, the appropriate one, because you and I talked about it when we saw it on Friday, you immediately said, through the side of your mouth, when I love when you do it through the side of your mouth, where you're like, I don't think they really need Dame anymore. What's your exact quote? And I think you're right. Like, I mean, that's, and by the way, again, these are the super quick reactions to people we saw playing at Summer League, but man, he looked great.
I'm just waiting for that Dame trade to happen, Gil, and then I'll be in on Rookie of the Year for Scoot.
You will be.
Yeah. Yeah.
There it is.
He is. He's a dynamic, player.
Why would you wait for that to happen? Because you feel like that's how he'll win it. And if Dame sticks around, he won't win it.
I think that backcourt. If Dame's still there, and he very well might be. I know we've been talking about this a ton. I mean, it's looking more and more every day. Like there's a good chance that Dame and Harden start the seasons on their respective teams before a trade actually happens. It's a crowded backcourt. You're going to want to get minutes for, obviously you're going to play Dame. Yes, you're going to play Scoot. I mean, he's the number three pick in the draft. You're going to play him. You're going to play him no matter what, but you still got to work in Anthony Simons, Shaedon Sharpe. You got to get minutes for these guys that you have invested time, money, draft picks in over the past few years. So I don't know that it would really, really affect his rookie of the year odds, but I'd feel a whole lot more confident knowing that Dame's gone and this is kind of Scoot's, not Scoot's team, but, he's the guy now there.
But his number will get slashed because of that, too.
It will, but with Wemby out there, I don't think it's going to get slashed that much.
The other player, by the way, Scoot hurt his shoulder. I'm not sure we see him again in summer league. Maybe we do.
I doubt it.
With him
not playing yesterday, I doubt we see him.
I doubt it. The same can be said for Amen Thompson, who, by the way, I was with my girl, fashion stylist, who was at the game. Fashion stylist DeSong. She was at the game and she took a real liking on draft night to both Amen and Asur Thompson. Like as a motherly, like she just loved them, and so. She, I swear to God, knows nothing about basketball, right? I mean, she knows basketball, but she doesn't know anything about the players. Amen Thompson is on the court like all night, and she's like, they need to give him a rest. He's tired, like a really motherly look at it. And sure enough, then he lands on someone
and he gets hurt,
and she's just going crazy about it. I'm like, hey, calm down. But he looked spectacular too. Not quite like Scoot, but he looked like everything the Rockets could have wanted in him.
I think I'm most impressed, as far as that rookie class so far, it's probably the Thompson brothers, just because you didn't really... the competition was questionable that they were playing it overtime a lead. It's not even exactly the same level of competition that Scoot's playing or that Wemby's playing over in France. So that was the biggest question I had about the Thompson twins was that coming into the NBA. It's just, you haven't played anybody.
Basketball scouts do a great, just personnel guys in basketball, do a wonderful job of figuring out when that competition matters and when it doesn't.
Yeah. It's pretty
in a way that mere mortals like you and I can't. They really do.
I mean, you think about what's the difference between the NFL and NBA draft? Well, NFL, most teams are looking for someone to contribute day one right away, right? NBA draft, all that matters is how good are you going to be 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 7 years from now? Yeah. We don't care about day one. Really don't.
So what is this? Does this all lead to a bet on a game today? Do you have any plays on games today? Are you betting individual games?
I've been doing games. I got a couple futures bets. I think that there's still some value out there. I would be interested. Pacers were a team that I kind of had circled beforehand. I bet a couple. I bet the Blazers and the Pistons before the summer league started. They each have a loss now. That Jabari Smith walk-off shot didn't help with the Blazers one the other day. Actually, the Rockets have beaten both of them. That's both the losses I have for the Pistons and the Blazers is the Rockets beating them. I think the Pacers are interesting at 10-1 if you're looking to get involved in the futures market now. They've only played one game. They have one win. Some of these teams that you're seeing at the top of the board, Rockets, Lakers, they both have two wins each. That's why they're 2-0. That's why they're at the top of the board. Pacers 10-1, though, I think is worth a look. They're a team that I was considering before summer league. You're a couple games in now. You're getting about the same price on them. They've got a great roster that I think could end up winning this thing.
Well, I hope people were listening to a numbers game last week when we gave out the Rockets at 16-1 as the only long shot we liked. They are now co-short shots with the Lakers at +650. I still think the Thunder, who came in as the pre-flop short shot, ultimately, they have the most depth out there.
Oh, they have by far the best roster. It's just
so
a question of how many games are these guys going to play, because they're another one of these teams that played before that come to Vegas.
But that's the thing, though. Because they have so many bodies, it just becomes, ready for this, a numbers game. And they just can roll. And like, even if somebody drifts off by attrition, right, as opposed to the other teams, if you lose Scoot, if you lose Amen, right, like it could happen that way. And it could end quickly for them.
Speaking of rookie of the year real quick, Chet's looked awesome too. Watch out, Thunder. Watch out.
Thunder going to be good this year. They might actually win Summer League before all of that. We'll come back. Paul Spohr on Major League Baseball. All-Star break questions, awards, divisions, next.